This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to Fantasy Football Today, DFS. My name is Sian Ajad. Of course, I'm joined by Meg Schaub. Meg, we have an interesting slate to talk about. You know, normally we go through QBs and running backs and wide receivers. We talk about early pricing, but it's Thanksgiving week. So we're actually going to go through the three-game Thanksgiving slate. How are you?
I'm doing well, Sia, and I love it. This is one of my favorite DFS weeks of the year. It's my favorite weeks of the year, right? It's, of course, the holiday week. And it's one of my favorite DFS weeks of the year. We talk about short slate a lot, right? This is a three-game short slate, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Anything in particular that you look at? Because before we dive into each and every game and some of our favorite plays and stacks and fades, anything from a short slate standpoint that you just want to point out right off the bat for the listeners to think about because it is only a three-game slate?
Yeah, I think there's a few things that I take into account in short slate. First of all, you can kind of give yourself permission to get different break rules. You know, you can play the defense against a quarterback, your quarterback. You can, you know, play two running backs from the same team. You can, you know, do interesting stuff like that. Different pairings, like maybe just a quarterback running back, something like that. You can get unique. I think it gives you permission to get unique to kind of work around the ownership. I also take, you know, ownership into account big time. That doesn't mean I'm fading the chalk by any means. I know there's going to be some chalky guys that I love on the slate. Doesn't mean I fade them, but then I'll find those contrarian spots just like anything, any other slate. But even more so in this slate, I really take ownership into account. And yeah, I guess kind of what I spoke to earlier, it's not just who you're playing, but the way you construct it all together. And so I'll kind of mention that as we go game by game. But I love short slate because I think it just allows you to kind of get a little more creative with that hand building.
Yeah, and I think committing to whatever how you think a certain game is going to go, really committing to that. You can do that a little bit more on a three-game slate. And don't forget about late swap. Like, this is a situation where depending on how you're doing after the 12:30 game, after the 4:30 game, it's really going to be incumbent upon you to check your lineup, see how you're doing, and potentially late swap, whether you're doing well or whether you're doing poorly, because there's occasions in both circumstances where late swapping makes a lot of sense. In fact, maybe having two identical lineups just going into the slate, keeping one a certain way and having late swap or late swapping one another way just to see how it turns out. I think that might be a good move. And by the way, we have a Turkey Day, if you will, FFT DFS contest. I tweeted out just this link and under that I tweeted out the contest, but it's also in the chat. It'll be in the podcast and YouTube description as well. This one is a shorter slate. I mean, it's a shorter number of entrants. It's 150 as opposed to 200 because I didn't think we'd get, you know, on a two-day span, I didn't think we'd get a ton of people jumping in. But we're going to pay out the top 15 this time instead of the top 20 so that the top 10 enjoy sort of the same prize. So get in that contest if you can. Let's start. Let's go Packers Lions. This is a 7.5. Packers are a 7.5 point dog. It's a 46 point total. This is a 12:30 game. You'll find it on Fox. These are all on sort of the name brand stations, by the way. You don't have to go to NFL Network or anything for this. It's going to be Fox, CBS, and NBC having all three of these games here. So, listen, this is an interesting game to me. I think, obviously you could stack both of these. I think when we get to the other games, guys like Dak Prescott are going to be popular, but I don't mind a Jared Goff stack, and I certainly don't mind, if you want to be a little contrarian, a Jordan Love stack. Jordan Love only 5,500. He's got some receivers that I'm actually interested in. Jared Goff, on the other hand, 6,300. We have the same sort of conundrum we had last week and the week before with Jahmyr Gibbs at 6,800, David Montgomery at 6,300. Aaron Jones is hurt. So does AJ Dillon get into the conversation at 5,400? Are you liking anything in this game? And I ask that knowing that a lot of people might want to be on Dak Prescott and company, might want to be on Brock Purdy against the Seahawks. So I'm curious how much you're playing this game. Do you like the Jordan Love part? Are you just maybe wanting to play those Detroit running backs, Detroit defense? Where are you headed?
You know, I think for this game, I am more interested in the running backs and maybe the cheaper receivers. I will say I do have a little interest. Goff would be my fourth quarterback that I'd be interested in. I'm probably just going to play four quarterbacks, and Love is one of the ones I'm cutting just because I just don't. He has not really shown a massive ceiling, and he still kind of has a scary floor. You know, last week he got to 20 points for the first time since like September. So while I know there's been improvement the last couple of weeks, I'm out on Love. I do have a little interest in Goff, but I probably have more interest in the Detroit running backs and maybe some of the cheaper receiving pieces from Detroit.
Yeah, it's interesting. Detroit, you know, I'm curious, though, because Amon-Ra St. Brown is 8,500. Laporta, coming off a bad game, is 5,200. Mm-hmm. I think you could speculate there. Jamison Williams, Khalif Raymond, Josh Reynolds, all in that 3K range. Are you interested in which of those guys are you interested in? And flipping it to, like, Romeo Doubs, Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, interested in any of those guys?
Yeah, so I will say the Packers receivers, obviously you're getting a ton of value, right? The Watson, you know, we know he has big play upside, but he hasn't shown it that much with Jordan Love, and that's what scares me. He really just got there last week because of the touchdown. So I think that's why he's priced so cheap. Again, everything will be kind of interesting to see where the ownership comes because of the pricing. So a lot of my decisions will probably be made there. Do I have interest in the Packers cheap receivers? Yes, but probably ownership will help me break some of those ties. Probably the one I have the most interest in is Jaden Reed, actually, at 4,200. And then, of course, the tight end Musgrave for even cheaper. So I just have a feeling the other receivers are going to come in higher owned. But again, we'll wait and see. Check ownership as you're able to. And then on the Detroit side, yes, I definitely love Amon-Ra. However, I think you're only going to be able to get a couple priority spends. And when we get to the other games, I have two other priority spends that come in higher than him. So I may not get to him as often as I'd like, just because there's two other really expensive guys that I'm prioritizing ahead of Amon-Ra.
Yeah. I think if you had a Jared Goff Amon-Ra lineup, it would be probably pretty contrarian, because just not a lot of people, knowing what you just said, Meg, in terms of like some of the other priorities, not a lot of people are going to want to spend $6,300 on Goff and $8,500 on Amon-Ra. Right. They'll default maybe to Detroit running backs or just get off Detroit altogether. I'm not really sure how that's going to play out. I will say this. I made a lineup yesterday with Jordan Love at $5,500 and Jaden Reed, who, by the way, caught four balls for four out of six targets for 46 yards. Plus, he had three rush attempts. And with Aaron Jones out, maybe they use him a little bit more. He had three rush attempts for 46 yards. Most of that was on an end around. He scored a touchdown there. I think he's going to be really interesting. Obviously, Watson only 4,300. So you can do a lot if you stack these quarterbacks, both from a value standpoint and from a contrarian standpoint in the case of Detroit. I think we can move on from that game. There's really no, like, Luke Musgrave is interesting at 3,300. Monitor, though, he has an abdominal injury, and I'm not exactly sure how serious that is, but I think Doubs, Watson, and Reed are all in play at 5K or below. All right, let's move.
I will take a couple shots on Jamison Williams or Josh Reynolds if I need a super value, and especially if it was within that game stack. I think that, and I will have at least one Goff, Amon-Ra, Laporta stack, to your point earlier.
And it makes sense to go to one of those low-end Detroit receivers because they haven't been getting a ton of targets, and frankly, a lot of people are going to want to take the value in Green Bay or in Dallas and just go for the upside there. So I don't think a lot of people are going to be on that Goff, like, double stack, if you will, for Amon-Ra. Right. Maybe you throw Laporta, but one of those low-end receivers, I think, makes a lot of sense, especially knowing that a lot of people are probably going to jam one of two David Montgomery or Jahmyr Gibbs into their lineup. And honestly, on this slate, if you really wanted to, you could play both.
You could do both.
This is one of those slates where you could absolutely play both. All right, well, we know not to play the Commanders against Tommy DeVito in the New York Giants, a sentence I never thought I would utter. We're going to get to that game, but before we do that, let's take a break and hear a word.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Meg, I'm so happy that this is such a quick hitter show that we don't have time to lament the plight of Commanders fans everywhere. So we're just going to skip that part. The Commanders are plus 11. This is a 4:30 game. I emphasize the times again because of late swap. This is a 4:30 game. So you have time after that Detroit game to kind of look at your lineup, look where you're at, and make some switches if you want to. Commanders plus 11 at the Cowboys. It's a 47.5 point total. Again, this one on CBS. Dak Prescott, 6,800. CeeDee Lamb, 8,700. Now you have just a host of low-end receivers, at least from a price standpoint. Brandon Cooks at 4,500. Michael Gallup, 3,700. If you want to take a shot at Jalen Tolbert, perhaps in a blowout game, maybe Tolbert gets a few extra snaps, a few extra looks. He's 3,100. Ferguson, 3,900. And then on the other side, you got Sam Howell at 6,200 in a negative game script. Kind of scary. Speaking of scary, Scary Terry, 5,400. But kind of scary against that Dallas defense, obviously. Dotson, 4,600. Curtis Samuel, 3,600. Crowder, 3,200. If you want De'Ami Brown, 3K. Logan Thomas, 3,500. Listen, Pollard, 6,700. Dowdle, 4,600. There's a lot you can do with this game. What are you interested in doing?
Basically everything. I think most people are going to gravitate to this game for the reasons of the Commanders defense being the one you want to target. And for the rate in which the Commanders throw, they're throwing at the highest pass rate of the league. Sam Howell has, I think, the highest passing yards, completions, attempts because he throws the most. So, and of course he is going to most likely be in such a negative game script. So I think there's so much you can do. And that's kind of how I touched on earlier that, you know, yes, picking the plays you want, but then how you're going to put it all together is going to be interesting. And, you know, I know this game is going to be heavily owned, but I think this is another short slate strategy is just overstacking a game, onslaughting an entire game. And I may do that to a very, you know, extreme degree. I might do that with a couple of lineups, not all of them, but with a few lineups, I will probably really, really, really overstack this game. And there are not many guys I would rule out to say that when I put those combos together. I mean, you could stack Dak with, you know, three pieces. You could do how, you know, Brian Robinson, because he throws to Brian Robinson so much, a receiver, and then three Dallas pieces. You know, there are so many ways you can approach this game, and I am going to be trying to do it in various different ways. There's not much I don't like in this game.
Yeah, it's interesting what you just said there, because I think people really need to understand, we need to boldface the point that you already made earlier in the show that, like, I hate to use like the overused phrase, like you got to get weird, but what Meg just said in terms of a Sam Howell stack with three, you know, with maybe two pass catchers and three Dallas run backs or three pass catchers and two Dallas run backs, like go in on a game, like go in on a game that you think is absolutely going to shoot out, especially considering this game script. And frankly, I even think in a positive game script, as long as it's not like a, you know, a 21 point lead going into like the fourth quarter, I think Dak is really going to be featured in this game. I mean, obviously anybody can get there, including Tony Pollard, who probably be slightly lower owned at 6,700. So I want to point that out, but Dak's on national television. He's back in the MVP conversation. CeeDee Lamb is a receiver that's looked at as potentially an offensive player of the year. Will he get there? Probably not. But the point is, this is a very much a featured game that these guys know every single person in the world, or at least in the country, is watching. So I think Dak could really end up airing it out and pile up four or five touchdowns. And frankly, Sam Howell on the other end, he'll kind of have to do that. Well, whether he'll be successful is a different question, but I think we can almost like guarantee Dak will be successful in large regard, which is why I think from a cash game standpoint, maybe Dak, would you say Dak would probably be your, even though he's 6,800, would you say he's your favorite cash game option?
Oh, 100%. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. And I think CeeDee Lamb is very much in play, obviously. But again, it's not just about Dak and CeeDee Lamb. It's about Dak, CeeDee Lamb, and then throw two other guys in there if you want. You could even do a Dak stack with Lamb, a pass catcher, and in my opinion, throw in Rico Dowdle. Like, let's get this game script really going where they get there, they get to that 24, 27 point lead against Washington, whatever, 20, 17 point lead. And in the fourth quarter, after Dak has piled up 325 yards and three touchdown passes, it's the Rico Dowdle show. And we know what he can do. Honestly, he looks a little bit more explosive than Tony Pollard at this point. He found the end zone 2 weeks ago. His yards per carry is pretty good. So I think that's an interesting kind of paid down option at 4,600.
That's
conversely, Meg, I think Pollard is a decent pay up option because I just don't think a lot of people are going to go there knowing that Dak is going to be so overstacked. And I mean that kind of in a positive way. How many people are going to throw Pollard into that mix? I don't think many.
Yeah, I think you made so many good points there. I'll just say I agree with all of them and love that, you know, the whole Dowdle thing speaks to the whole, you know, you're telling a story just like they talk about a lot when you're building showdown lineups. Same with short slate. You're telling a story about how the short slate is going to go, how are these games are going to go. And if the story is, you know, they're playing from a huge lead, then yeah, we're going to see some Dowdle. And I think that makes a ton of sense. And, but I loved everything you said. And I think you can get creative, whether you want to even do Dak and Pollard and a receiver and tight end, or, you know, I definitely think you can do, I want to make a case. And I did this actually in the classic slate. You can absolutely do Sam Howell and Brian Robinson together because he gets to him a lot. And then that can soak up all the Washington touchdowns that they do get. And then you save a little money there and then jam a lot of Dallas players. I actually like that.
Let me ask you this, as far as the Washington players, like my favorite two are probably Terry McLaurin at 5,400, Logan Thomas at 3,500. Those are probably my favorite two when I'm thinking of price and production. Now, granted, Sam Howell throws to everybody. That Eric Bieniemy offense, it mirrors Kansas City, where they just throw to everybody. But I still like those two the best. Is there somebody else that sort of sneaks into the conversation, whether it be Dotson or Curtis Samuel or even John Bates is 2,500. He caught two passes last week. If you really need salary relief, not recommending it, just pointing it out.
Right. Yeah. I mean, again, Howell's probably my second favorite quarterback just because of the, you know, pass rate and playing from a negative game script. I love the two you mentioned, but I think I'm going to have a good bit of Brian Robinson. I actually like him because, again, even in a negative game script, he's still very live. And then I will say the two others, I think Dotson will be the one that could come in lower owned. So I'll probably have interest there because if you're overstacking a game that's going to be popular, try to find one or two pieces that maybe lower own. And then the other one I'll throw out that's a more of a dart throw, but 3,000, it's this guy from UNC, Diami Brown. He's gotten 2 to 4 targets the last three games. So if he gets 2 to 4 targets in this game and gets one in the end zone, it could be live at 3,000 at low ownership as well.
And Diami Brown's talented. It's just a matter of like getting him the ball, getting him touches. And frankly, whether it's Curtis Samuel or Diami Brown, I could see some creative touches going to those guys, knowing that Brian Robinson and Rodriguez, because I don't know that Antonio Gibson's going to be healthy for this game. We'll have to monitor that. But I mean, if those are your two running backs, you're going to have to get creative in the backfield and in the short area. And I think Curtis Samuel and Diami Brown could have that splash play and they'll have no ownership whatsoever. So Josh D says, I like the cheap Green Bay wide receivers. I absolutely do too. I think Jaden Reed provides the most, I wouldn't say the most value. I think he's the most interesting play. I think Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson are also like really good potential splash plays in that game, knowing that Detroit gave up a lot to Chicago last week and that defense, it, you know, is good, not great. They can apply pressure, but they give up some chunk plays as well.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, let's go to this last game. By the way, I don't know that we're going to get to our FFT DFS contest winner from last week or my lineup recap. We might have a couple minutes to get to that, but I really wanted to make sure we get this analysis in. But I do want to congratulate Riku1987 because he won our FFT DFS contest. Reminder, the three-game Thanksgiving slate, we have that contest already live. It's already available, so please sign up. It's $5. Only 150 people in that one. Top 15 get paid out this time, not the top 20. All right, 8:20 game on NBC. It's the 49ers -7 at the Seahawks, Meg. 42.5 point total, so this is a lower total. We got Brock Purdy, 6,100. We got CMC, 8,700. Now, Kenneth Walker is hurt. You talked about some of the, at the beginning of the show, some of these maybe what is it? More of the common plays, if you will, the chalky right. plays. Zach Charbonnet at 5,300, probably going to be that guy. What do you like in this game?
Yeah, since the bye, Purdy has looked great. Purdy and the whole 49ers offense has looked great. So I definitely have interest in Purdy. Obviously, stack him with any combination of his receivers. You feel comfortable. They're all viable. Obviously, Ayuk, Debo, Kittle. And then, of course, I talked about priority spends. It's Lamb and Christian McCaffrey. Those are my two priority spends. And that's why I said, as much as I love Amon-Ra St. Brown, he comes in third because Lamb and McCaffrey are my two priorities to get in as many lineups as I possibly can. So I love a lot, clearly, on the 49ers side. I do love Charbonnet. I do think he'll be chalky, but I think that's a situation that's okay. There's good chalk, and I think he could very well be good chalk because he can be used in the passing game as well. So I like Charbonnet. With Geno being a little, we're waiting to see, he'll most likely play, I think. But because he's a little banged up, I'm a little more nervous paying for his receivers, even in a negative game script. But in the right, I'll definitely consider them. But they come down a little lower than kind of everybody else we talked about. I think from Seattle, it's more Charbonnet would be my priority, even being chalky.
Yeah, I think Charbonnet makes a lot of sense, certainly in cash. I think you have to play Charbonnet at 5,300 because not only will he get the production, but he'll get a lot of the he's just going to get a lot of the work. Let's just put it that way for cash. But in tournaments, I think fading Charbonnet does make sense if we see ownership really pile up on him. Because, listen, there's other running backs to go to. And against this front seven for San Francisco, even if he catches five or six balls, how productive is he? He probably pays off his price. But if he somehow crashes and burns, you got leverage on the field there. Geno Smith is really interesting. I think he's going to be really shaky for Thursday. I think even if he plays, he's not going to be in good shape, but I could be wrong there. And so what does this all mean? It means probably there's not going to be a lot of people on Geno Smith or Geno Smith stack. So that's at least interesting against a 49ers defense who can give up a lot through the air. This is a division game. I think depending on the Geno news, if he plays and everybody thinks he's going to be hurt, Geno to DK Metcalf at 6,500 makes sense. Geno to Lockett, Geno to JSN, some sort of stack in that regard. You could even do Geno, Charbonnet, and then one of DK, Lockett, or JSN, and then just go elsewhere. I think that's a stack that absolutely could pay off, especially if you have a couple variations of that. On the other side, I'm probably not getting away from CMC, although they're on the road. It's a division game. We've seen him not get there in the last couple of weeks, so I think fading him on this Thanksgiving slate actually makes sense, but I'll certainly be playing him and fading him in certain lineups. So probably even with the field there, which I don't normally like doing. Any other comments about this game, Meg?
No, I think you covered it perfectly. Again, I'm also going to, I know we're going to get to defenses possibly, but 49ers defense and McCaffrey are probably my priorities in this game.
Yeah, I agree. I think the defenses I like the most, like Dallas, obviously at 3,800 makes sense. We had somebody in the chat comment on that. 49ers at 3,600, obviously that makes sense too, especially if Locke is the quarterback. I mean, just go ahead and hammer 49ers defense and just pay up for it and get Christian McCaffrey involved there. Maybe even, listen, if Locke is the starter, get Elijah Mitchell in some lineups with that 49ers defense because maybe you throw Elijah Mitchell in with Christian McCaffrey. Again, you're trying to get weird on these slates, and it's very possible that Elijah Mitchell gets 10, 12 touches if this game gets out of hand with Lockett at quarterback. Lions at 3,200, I think that makes a ton of sense against Jordan Love. I think a lot of people will like that because I think that's the most expensive, cheap defense, if you will. In other words, I think people will be comfortable rostering Lions at 3,200 because it's a pretty reasonable price. But that's all the more reason to maybe consider the Jordan Love stacks because a lot of people will be on Detroit defense, one of the Detroit running backs. If you fade all of that, you play a Jordan Love stack and you run it back with Amon-Ra St. Brown and or Laporta, something like that. And by the way, those Jordan Love stacks, you can do anything you want. Like literally, you can throw in Amon-Ra, you can probably get CeeDee Lamb and maybe even Christian McCaffrey, although that'll be kind of tight, but it allows you to do a lot with that particular stack. As far as the cheap defenses, Packers, Seahawks, Commanders are just an absolute no. I mean, if you want to be contrarian, silver bullet into the Millie, go ahead and play the Commanders defense. But of those cheap defenses, Meg, I think my favorite is probably the Seahawks. I think the Packers are kind of in play, but I don't know. They're kind of not very healthy in the secondary. What are your maybe top two defenses, like period, or maybe in this low end?
In the low end, the only one I'd probably touch is Seahawks, and I don't like any of the cheap defenses. So to answer, as much as possible, I'm going to try to stick with those top three defenses as much as I possibly can.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And listen, you can. Like, I don't think pricing is super prohibitive. There's enough value because of those cheap wide receivers that we talked about in the Dallas game, in the Green Bay game. I mean, really across this slate, there's cheap receivers you can put in there that honestly get some production. So they're not your classic like 3K or 3,500 guys that you're like, they might not even get two targets. Like a lot of these cheap receivers are going to get 4 to 6 targets. That's just how it's going to be. So the pricing allows you to pay up for those defenses if that's what you want to do. Josh D says, Charbonnet intrigues me. Us too, everybody else too, so keep that in mind. Doug Craig says, what about Bobo? Bobo's interesting. He always gets like one play or two plays, but if you look at the box score, he's really not involved too much. I think in terms of dart throws, I'd rather go with somebody with a little bit more upside, a little bit more speed. Bobo's 40 time is like kind of hilarious, but he is involved. I think he ran like a 5.8 40, something like crazy bad, but he's a good player, whatever. Maybe he should be converted to a tight end. It's even slow for a tight end though. Meg, that's our quick hitter show. Any comments before we get out of here?
No, I just kind of what I alluded to earlier, you know, don't be afraid to get weird, creative, contrarian, overstack, do interesting things, allow yourself to just have fun on this Thanksgiving slate. And obviously also have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Have a great Thanksgiving. Join our contest. And we'll see you Friday. Our game-by-game preview with Mike McClure. It's on. Same time, same place. 11 o'clock on Friday. That'll be for the Sunday main slate. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you on Friday.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.